Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy. So,
Steve, you truly are the king of the Jews.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, man.
Did he really say I'm the king of the Jews?
No. He said king of Israel.
Oh, king of Israel.
He's the king of Israel.
Ah. Steve.
Yeah.
You truly are the king of Israel.
Yes, thank you.
Now go...
go genocide some Palestinians.
Yeah, I was going to say, go exploit some Palestinians.
Yes, let's do it.
Yeah. Exploit, I guess, would be too easy. Oh, we got like I feel like we're on the Today Show. We're in a new studio.
Yeah.
So,
dun, 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 dun. That's Price is Right, but still.
Yes. All right, Steve. We're gonna play Plinko today.
No, I want to do the yodeler. That's the most disheartening. The most disheartening sound that's been built into the American psyche is the sad trombone from The Price is Right.
Yes. Do Europeans get American game shows?
So Europeans generally get a European version of an American game show
because
they export the game show, but they obviously don't. They don't air the American one because it uses American references and American dollars. But I know, like, they have Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
They don't use American dollars?
They don't.
What?
They use the lira.
They use lira and Deutschmarks and zlotys and drachmas.
And ruples.
And ruples. I think they actually still use rubles in Russia.
Yeah, probably.
They don't. I don't think they're not. They're not on the euro.
Yeah.
What's the Spain? Spain use the peso?
I think peso is only Mexico.
Well, there's all the Latin American countries, I think, use the peso.
Is there one called a pesas?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think one might be a peso and one might be a pesas. I'm not sure.
I'm sure. That's like Spain and Portugal. Yeah, it's probably the same thing.
Just like how a lot of...
And the Portuguese are like, no, we do not speak a Spanish. And the Spains are like, no, we do not speak a Portuguese. And then you look at it and you're like, it's the same fucking language.
In Portugal, I was a cardiologist. It's just like how American shows, they import Japanese game shows a lot.
Yeah, so I wonder, I wonder if they have The Price is Right in Britain, where it's all just guessing the prices of tea.
Not tea. It's fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
And what else? Bags of those pickle and onion chips, which are amazing.
Yeah, like the ketchup and mustard.
Sorry, pickle and onion crisps.
Crisps, yeah.
Yeah. Those aren't chips. Chips are fries.
Yes. And then they have the what do they call cookies?
They call
biscuits.
You know, now that I think about it, because they call potato chips crisps.
Yes.
And they call
fries.
Chips.
Mm-hmm.
Do they call anything fries?
I think that they call that Scotland.
Ah, I see.
Because they fry everything.
That makes sense. Geopolitical humor.
Considering the fact that we have no American listeners.
That's true.
Our listenership in America, negligible. Listenership in Europe, fairly high.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're a quasi left wing gaming podcast, and all the gamers in America are right wing chuds.
Oh, chuds and tankies.
The tankies are left wing.
I know, but I'm just saying
authoritarian.
Chuds and tankies.
Yeah, I don't want if you're authoritarian,
get out of here with your authoritarianism. Wait a second, is that the communist work theme?
Well, see, that's the thing. See, that's the problem with communism. Is when you talk about communism, people are always assuming you're talking about authoritarian communism, which is a vastly different subject than anarcho-communism, which would be bottom left.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, I do not agree with authoritarianism in any capacity.
Yeah. I'm. sorry, guys. We're not on the gaming stuff right away. Today was my first full week of work, so I didn't get a lot of like sitting in front of my computer jerking off to the new gaming news. Mm. So.
I had a prostate exam today.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. I never had one before.
Yeah. Did you do like the old Fletch where he's like, old man river?
Actually, it's kind of funny because like I'd only ever like my experience, obviously, because I'd never had one before, but my whole overall experience with prostate exams is I heard.
Yeah, the snap and.
No. I know like the cultural ambiance of prostate exam.
The joke of like, the old boomers who are like, I don't want to get a finger up my butt, so I'm going to die of prostate cancer.
Yeah, like it's going to be this horrible thing. And I'm just like, so I was like, I prepped myself and I was like, all right, I'm going to be as relaxed as I can. And he's like, all right, I'm done. And I was like, what? It's like, and I'm just like, fucking A, dude, guys are fucking babies. Like, that is the easiest fucking, like, no problem thing in the universe. ridiculous.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's old boomers who feel like if they get a finger up their butt, they're going to turn gay and
right.
communist.
It was ridiculous. I was just like, what? I was like, this is the thing that everyone like is like, oh my God, this is so.
I go,
get the fuck out of here.
I literally go, you know, to my doctor's appointment every year for my checkup, and I do two dental appointments because I want to stay healthy. I have a broken back. I'm going to die earlier than everyone else. I need to stretch this out as long as possible.
Stretch as long as you can.
Yeah. I mean, I if I could get my head put into a jar Futurama style to live forever, I would. So,
I think you're going to need firearms to survive the apocalypse because your hand-to-hand combat is going to be very low.
Not if I have a robot body.
Well, it's true. That's true. Well, robot body, you can specialize in hand-to-hand or ranged combat if
you're
a robot body.
Why can't they do both? Well,
you can do both.
It's called four arms, Steve. I'm a robot. I'm not a human.
You can do both, but generally that means you'll have one ranged weapon and one melee weapon.
No, four arms.
They don't have the technology for four arms yet. They're only at robot body.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. But in the future, I think we should put this on the planning table.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're working on the four arms.
This is the problem when you have scientists who only play 40K. We're like, we need to specialize our robot bodies. Why? Or like when Jeff Bezos
only
is in
melee.
Charge.
Only melee.
Jeff Bezos is in charge. We need to specialize to take care of our Amazon products.
We need engaged customers.
We need more dead billionaires is what we need.
Hell yeah. Fucking
communist themes.
Rest in shit, Coke brother dildo. Hope there's a swift reunion for the Coke family.
As we say, as I have said, progress moves forward one funeral at a time.
It's true. It's true.
So just some gaming stuff that I actually came across while I was at the game store lately. Have you heard of Journeys in Middle Earth?
Yeah.
It's a mini. They got minis for it.
Really?
Yeah. And I was very shocked by this because I didn't know that another company was allowed to make miniatures, and these are not Games Workshop miniatures.
Yeah, well, they have, cuz so the Tolkien stuff is like, cuz there's that one company that makes Lord of the Rings miniatures that are all like, they're non, cuz Lord GW has the New Line stuff.
Yes.
So all of the
New Line stuff, yeah.
So anything that's based in that film universe or that they have specifically, they have their versions of, so like their version of Celebrimbor, like GW's version of Celebrimbor is copyrighted by Games Workshop because that's their version of Celebrimbor. You couldn't do a version like that. And you couldn't do an Aragorn in the likeness of Viggo Mortensen. But that's how all of these companies.
Why would anyone want an Aragorn that's not in the likeness of Viggo Mortensen?
Right? I know. It's great because there's a game. I was looking at a board game. A Lord of the Rings, the Journey of the Fellowship board game. Just a small little sideboard game. It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But the front obviously has, you know, the Fellowship. And I was looking at it, I was like, God, fuck. I was like, this is a really nice piece of art. But I'm just like, they just don't look right. Because it's weird now when I see characters.
For me, it's like, I can separate it. But the thing is that it either has to be like New Line, or at least in that frame, kind of like.
Or Rankin Bass.
Like it has to be like Shadows of Mordor style, like that.
Shadows of Mordor is very the film.
Yeah,
it looks exactly like everything
it
in there.
Very feels like
yes,
the film.
Everything in there has the aesthetic, the Jackson aesthetic. Yeah. So like the orcs look like the Jackson style orcs. Even your hero kind of looks like you wouldn't be surprised to see him like next to Aragorn in the movies.
Yes, or I like the Rankin Bass Hildebrandt brothers style where it's everyone's like
super stylized
70s, like
Gandalf's nose is like 6 feet long and he has a gigantic hat.
Well, it doesn't have to be necessarily like that, but I mean it's got to have that 70s Hildebrandt
vibe.
To me,
like they're very exaggerated.
In the background you just want the members of like yes sitting there playing flutes in the background, like
yeah, and Leonard Nimoy on a hill.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's like
Bilbo Baggins.
That's the two styles that I have. There's never the twain shall meet.
Yeah, the very exaggerated style is nice because they have the dwarves with like the nose is like half the size of their
yeah,
face.
Yeah, I mean like stuff like that, or it doesn't really matter, but yeah, it has to be like that because otherwise it just looks like Dungeons and Dragons to me.
Yeah, well, I like the very exaggerated look that the Rankin Bass guys have because it works really well for the fantasy feel because all of the characters look highly like exaggerated except when you get to the generic humans who just look like regular people. I think that works very well because it really,
when they're like rotoscoped to like a fucking
that's not Rankin Bass, right?
That's Fritz the Cat and all that.
Is Fritz the Cat.
Yeah.
What's his name? Ralph Bakshi.
The Ralph Bakshi stuff.
That's the Ralph Bakshi stuff. That's the Lord of the Rings.
That's the first one, Lord
right.
of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings is Ralph Bakshi with lots of rotoscoped orcs and weird shit. And then
Return of the King
is
Rankin Bass,
as is The Hobbit, which is also Rankin Bass. all good films in their own right. The Lord of the Rings, Ralph Bakshi, it's like all the thing I like about all of those films very much is that they don't skimp on the music.
No, they do not.
The music is fully intact. They don't skimp on any of the talking things. Like, everything talks like it's supposed to, because like in that, that's like one of the reasons I actually really liked The Hobbit, and I found I was kind of annoyed by people who like nitpicked The Hobbit and didn't like it, was that it was one of the few, like, outside of the original, I love the Lord of the Rings trilogy, super good, but like there's flavor that's missing when you don't have like talking wargs or the eagles don't talk, things like that. But one of the things I really liked about The Hobbit is that they were able to, they got the spiders to talk. When Bilbo had the ring on, he heard the spiders talking, because that was like a whole,
that's a
huge part of the book.
It's like a huge part of his world.
Yeah. And he's like yelling, Ettercop, trying to get the fucking spiders to chase after him, because the spiders could talk, because all of the fantastical creatures in Middle Earth could speak. They all could talk, because they were all some sort of essence of a greater thing. Like, they were like, you know, quasi angels or demons. So like everything had the intelligence level of talking. So it made, it also makes, like, in terms of like a role playing game, like I kind of want to do a D&D campaign where everything is at that level, because I think it adds a lot more to.
Hey, Owlbear, what you up to?
Oh, nothing. Just a little depressed.
Oh, Owlbear, it's okay.
I guess so.
Silly old bear.
Roar. Owlbear, no swiping.
I like it conceptually, because it doesn't have, because it adds to like the mystical feel of the creature. So obviously, like, a regular bear wouldn't talk. So if a bear is fighting the party, it's just a fucking bear.
Yeah.
But like, to have something that's it also escalates the threat level of everything you're fighting.
Well, I also think that one of the things that they miss quite a bit in D&D is dragons should talk.
Dragons do talk.
I know, but people in D&D don't often have the dragons talking.
Oh, well, dragons are like, so the dragons in D&D are an unfortunate conundrum, because if dragons are played properly by the GM, like, I don't want to, maybe probably not right. If you play a dragon to a dragon's strengths, it should be pretty much impossible for a party to defeat them.
Yeah.
It's just because of the way, like, I mean, first of all, a dragon can fly. So even the lowest level of dragons, like, it just flies really high and drops fireballs on the party. Or it casts fucking spells at them from super far away. Like, an early fight with a dragon should be a wipe. There's no possible way. Because they have lower threat level dragons, but even at a lower threat level, it can fly.
I think in the opening scenario, in Phandelver, there's a green dragon that's fucking in there.
Oh, yeah, but that dragon is a much higher CR than the party. Yeah. Like, even what I'm saying is that even if you're at the appropriate level to fight a dragon, unless the players are at ludicrous levels where they have access to the busted spells, there's no way you should be able to beat a dragon. It's not like well, that doesn't fit in the universe. It's just the way dragons are designed. They're overpowered. Like, they have spell-like abilities. They have actual spells. They have flight.
But if you're doing a proper GM, I agree with you on all of that. Dragons should have a weakness that you have foreshadowed or somehow they can figure out.
The biggest key with fighting dragons, and this is where dragons
Tolkien
are.
Tolkien laid it out for us.
This is where dragons are okay to be slain. So in the open, you have to be able to exploit a weakness, because otherwise the dragon's just going to fly away. There's no way you can beat it. But that's why the dragon's lair is such a critical component, because if you get to a red dragon's lair, you eliminate one of his strongest abilities, which is flight. Because he can't fly, because their layers are all internal. So like, that's a huge, huge difference. The problem is, even if a dragon knows you're coming, right, and he's in his lair, right, so I'm a spellcaster. I see the strength of your party coming through my dungeon, and I could be like, I know exactly how strong I am. I know who's ass I can kick.
This is a party.
So forth. Right.
They have strength.
So the as a dragon, I could be like, okay, they're super strong. I'm just going to transmogrify into a rat and beat it. So then, like, they come into the dragon's lair and it's empty. Like, if the dragon thinks he's going to lose, you know, but now you might be able to play up that the dragon's super arrogant and, like, thinks he can win no matter what. So there's that. But yeah, you have to have a dragon fight.
Dragon madness.
I think that's what it is. I think a dragon fight. I think a lot of GMs use dragon fights as just any other encounter. Like, it's an obstacle for you to defeat. When like a dragon should be one of the hardest challenges to overcome, that requires investigation, bribing, like maybe one of his, maybe you get one of his minions to turn against him and be like, you know, what's his weakness? You know, does he have a weakness? And be like, his thirst for emeralds is so ridiculous. If you throw an emerald, he'll be distracted. And you're like, dope. Like, let's get some emeralds.
Dope.
Dope. Let's get some emeralds.
Well, I'm here at the Emerald Mine, and I got to tell you, there's a dragon in there. You can't get any emeralds without killing the dragon first.
Yo! You'll work this off in the acid mines.
But
the
yes.
The pain mines of Rura Pense. So that's a big thing for dragons. But again, back to like the Tolkien animal things, that intelligence is supposed to be something that help. And that's why, one of the things I loved, there was a game for PS3 era. It was a Lord of the Rings game. I think it was called might have been Journey to Mordor or something like that. I don't remember what the fucking name of it was. It's kind of bugging me. But it was a game, our classic RPG style, where you had a party that was an elf, a dwarf, and a human, and it was kind of like Dragon Age esque. But one of the things I loved the most in that is the first thing you do in that, or one of the first encounters in that, is a bunch of goblins, and they're stabbing at a eagle that's chained. And when you rescue the eagle, you bust the chains off and he talks. Like, immediately, he's just like, oh, thank you for rescuing me. I very much appreciate it. I will give you this assistance now. Like, and you're like, oh, fuck yeah, that's right. Eagles talk.
Do you ever see the Teen Titans Go episode where they play Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes.
Yeah, they have you have to go fight rats. What? Yeah. Yeah, you have to fight lots and lots of rats. And it's like, all right, I guess stand still. And it's like, blink, and the thing stands still for 5 seconds, and then it starts going. They're like, what's the point of that spell? Well, you're supposed to exploit it.
Yeah.
And so she takes her sheet, and she has a zero on the end of the one, and all of a sudden she casts busted spell.
Yes. It's good stuff.
I just like the song. We're going to ride a dragon.
Yeah.
We're going to ride a dragon. You can't ride a dragon.
Yeah, Robin's trying to get them to all follow the rules. Yeah. Just like, no, I want to ride the dragon.
Yeah, so getting back, Journeys of Middle-Earth.
Yes.
Or Journeys into Middle-Earth. Journeys in Middle-Earth.
Yes.
Do you know anything about this game?
That's the Fantasy Flight one, right?
Yeah.
I know. It's a board game, board card game, I think.
Yeah, and it's got, an app attached to it as well.
Yeah, and so this is that app is actually being lambasted online.
Because board games should not have fucking apps. I've been saying that.
I counterpoint to that. Board games should not have required apps. This game, you must use the app to play it. It's not an option. All apps should be optional if you're doing a board game. That's
okay. Yeah, I will agree to that caveat. Agreed.
Because I've played some games that have apps that enhance the game, and they're fun. But it's also nice to be like, ah, fuck it. I don't want to fuck with my phone. Let's just play the board game.
Well, I think the perfect app for a game is War Scroll, the Age of Sigmar one. What is it? War Scroll Builder? Not War Scroll Builder.
Azir.
Yeah, because all you do is it's just for building lists. You can look up stats
cards.
And points and cards.
And you can have books attached to it.
You can have books attached to it, which I think is kind of dumb.
No, I mean, it's still nice.
I mean, it is if you just want to go straight digital.
Yeah. Well, I like it a lot for the supplement stuff.
Yeah.
Like General's Compendium, because it's $15 and I don't have another book that's just clogging up my shelf.
Well,
that's
also believe that Games Workshop should attach a code to the inside of a book that's cling wrapped so that you're able to input it into your.
I agree with that.
That should be 100%
the
case.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because
if you buy the physical copy, you get the digital copy free.
Yeah. Because guess what?
It makes sense.
Fucking records do it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You know why can't Games Workshop do that?
And you know what you do?
What?
You can have you can even set up a profit opportunity for that, because you can set up an enhanced version for $3 or something. So you buy the game, you buy the book, you get the full book, but there's an enhanced version that has, I don't know, some whiz bang or giga that you can pay $3 to get, fucking narrated story or some shit.
A narrated story.
I don't know. You know, there's plenty.
Is it narrated by Brian Blessed?
Yes.
Hello!
Yes, everything's narrated by Brian Blessed. Everything. Literally everything.
I think Gotrek is a great Christian man. And you're like, what are you talking about? I love you, but you need to stop.
He's very old.
He is very old. He does like a tour where it's just an evening with Brian Blessed, and it's just him on stage talking
about
shit.
That's kind of cool.
I know. I kind of like to see that, but I think he only does it in the UK.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's interesting, too. I'd actually like to see that, because I think you can get a lot more of, I'll give the only example. The only personal example I have is Shatner. So like I've heard like
Shatner.
Most people say like the overall perspective of Shatner that I've heard is that he's a big dickhead.
Yeah.
And like that seems to be pretty accurate for the most part from what I've seen. However, I was never a huge Shatner fan, but his segment at the Star Trek convention, phenomenal. Like just listening to him bullshit about random things, because like, he basically refused to talk about Star Trek, which was awesome because it was just Shatner talking about just random shit.
Tell me about T.J. Hooker.
Right. Well, it was super cool to just have him just like talk about stuff like yeah. that was cool because you get bits of like the industry that you've never heard of because they're personal stories that only he knows.
I have an artesian well in the back of my property. And
you know who was that? That was John DeLancey. All he wanted to do was talk about sailing.
Yeah.
That dude is like obsessed with sailing. Like,
so you gonna talk about yacht rock with him?
No, no, not yachts. Sails, like sails. Little sailboats. That's his like thing. Like he fucking loves sailboats.
So on my mainsail, I was using a sheep shank just to make sure it was taut. I was wondering if there's a better knot that I could use.
If you ask him that question, he'd give you like 30 minutes. Like yeah. He'd just be like, yes. So.
Yeah, I hate sailing.
Yeah, pretty wild. I was like, huh, interesting. John DeLancey, kind of lame.
When I was doing a lifeguard training when I was a kid, it was just like, it's like something that Chicago offers. Like you go to the beach and they basically teach you the basics of lifeguarding, knots and like how to rescue rowboats and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like a sailing component that they would do like once a week. They would take you to the South Shore Country Club, made famous in the Blues Brothers. That's the country club at the end where they
Illinois Nazis.
Where they go glue. Strong stuff sprayed on there. But that's the South Shore Country Club. And so you go there and you go on sailboats and they teach you how to sail. I fucking hated it. I was really good at it, but I hated it. I was like, why does anybody do this? Like,
I don't know, dude. I people do weird shit. Like, there's just, I mean, like, odd things.
I can understand, like, the Polynesians, whose entire way of life was fucking around sailing. But it's just like... Like, as a kid in Chicago, I'm just like, this is the dumbest shit ever.
I don't know, dude. People do weird shit.
Give me a bratwurst.
Yeah, where's my sausage?
Where's my sausage?
Have you seen the video of that dude with the super thick Chicago accent
with the fox? The fox. Yeah, yeah, I actually subscribed to his channel on YouTube.
Fantastic.
He did a video a while back about like invasive plants at the Indiana Dunes or Michigan Dunes. He's like, here I am at the Michigan Dunes. Now this little prick here is Aspergillus whatever.
Aspergillus physalis.
Yeah. This thing, you see it everywhere. It comes from China.
You know what actually is really great? I saw very old videos of myself. Mm-hmm. Two of them. One when I was really young, I had a crazy New York accent for some reason.
Hey, how you going?
No, like it was ridiculous. I was like, what do you think you're doing? Like it was like I was the most New York fucking accent ever. But then I saw a video of me a little older, and I had the most Chicago fucking. I was like, holy shit! I was like a little. I was basically like a miniature version of one of the super fans. I was like, Grandpa. I want another sausage. And I was like, wow, I was like the most Chicago little kid ever. I guess, man. I lost it. But I mean, I grew up mostly in Chicago when I was young, and then I didn't come to the suburbs until elementary school.
Yeah.
Well, elementary being like I was almost out of elementary school.
I didn't realize how bad my accent was until I was doing theater. And I probably told the story on the podcast before. I did a lot of theater in college. And now when you're doing theater on the south side of Chicago, having a thick Chicago accent is not an issue.
Right.
When you're doing theater in the western suburbs of Chicago, all of a sudden they go, Joe, you're doing Henrik Ibsen. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
It's the play's called Hedda Gabler. Yeah, okay. That's what I said. Hedda Gabler.
Hedda Gabler.
She's like, no, Joe. It's not Hedda Gabler. It's Hedda Gobbler. I'm not hearing the difference.
Yeah, I don't hear a difference. Somebody give me a pop.
It's like eating a sandwich. Like, yeah. I don't hear any difference.
I got this combo here.
I'm not a big fan of the combo.
I don't like the combo either.
Yeah. Anyways.
You know what I do like, though? Pepper and egg.
I love a pepper and
give
egg.
Give me a pepper and egg sandwich.
Yes, but getting back to what we were saying about required apps in games. Because what was it? XCOM had the same fucking problem, too.
Yeah, XCOM had a required app, which was really annoying.
Yeah.
The thing that bugs me, too, is like the app is cool, but most cases, almost all of those apps could easily not be.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
But there are apps that add a lot of things to the experience which are cool. Like there was one that was, there was a game called Fuse, which had it was played with a timer, and like everyone was trying to find a timer, and they had an app that you could use. Otherwise, you could just use a fucking timer anywhere. You just set a timer. But what the app did is the app added a computer that was taunting you. Uh-huh. And like as you're playing and the time's going down, the computer's like, uh-oh, you're only at 2 minutes. I hope you're almost finished. And like, it's pretty cool. The computer's like fucking with you. And I was like, oh, that's neat. And then it like it does various like klaxons and things like that, because the premise of Fuse is that you're on an exploding ship and you need to, or you're on a ship where the computer's gone haywire and has activated the self-destruct system, and you're all working together.
Self-destruct in 9 minutes.
Yes. And you're all trying to work together to hack the computer to deactivate the self-destruct.
Shields at nominal.
Yeah, it does shit like that. And then it goes like, and then it's like, at one point it was like 30 seconds. I'm like, 30 seconds? And I looked over the clock and it was at 30 seconds. I'm like, what the fuck? And it was like, haha, just kidding. I was like, fuck. Yeah. So like, that was cool. And like, that's the kind of stuff that can enhance the experience.
Yeah.
Enhancing the experience, good. Required experience, bad. Because if I want to fucking play a digital app by itself, I'll just fucking play a digital app.
Yeah.
You know, because the Journeys in the Middle Earth game actually got me, because I was looking for random Lord of the Rings shit on the app store. And I was like, what the fuck's this game? And I clicked on it and I was looking, and I was like, oh, this looks kind of neat. And I was like, is this a board game? And I was like, oh, wait, what the fuck? And I looked down and I see like it has like a 2, like the it's just being review bombed. Yeah. And I look at the reviews, and it's the almost every comment was people bitching about the fact that they had to use the app. Because one dude was like, yeah, I have to use this stupid app to play the fucking game, and the app crashed and now it won't load, so I can't play my fucking board game that I spent $60 on. And I was like, ah, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually, because I was looking at it for the minis, because they thought it was fairly interesting. But here, you could see the size differences between the minis. Like, you can't really use them for, you know, they don't really match well.
Oh, yeah, they're, like, way too big.
Yeah, they're, like, chunky. They're, like, 28 mil as opposed to the 25.
Yeah, they're huge. Like, Aragorn, so viewer, or listeners, not viewers, to give you an idea, the Bilbo miniature, or Frodo miniature from Journeys in Middle Earth, is roughly the size of the GW Aragorn. So to give you the idea and scale, and Gimli is like a gigantic monster in the Journeys in the Middle Earth. So yeah, so they definitely do not fit in any way. Like, there's no way that they'll fit. But speaking of Lord of the Rings miniatures, I did pick up War in Middle Earth, or War of the Ring.
War of the Ring?
Yes.
That's the
Ares games. It's the giant, like, huge board game.
Oh, yeah? Is it good?
I picked it up. Well, I haven't played it yet, but the reviews are absolutely stellar, and it contains a shit ton of really cool minis at, like, kind of, like, War Master scale.
Ooh.
Yeah, very cool. It has, like, it has almost 300 figures.
Really?
Yeah.
But is it, like, it's not, like, a war game, though.
No,
it's,
so, the...
It's,
the,
like, Risk,
the closest, the closest example I can give you is it's similar to Risk, but the way the game operates is that there's a main... Like, the board is fairly large, and there's a main board, which is Middle Earth, that has zones and maps and movement, and then there's a small side tracker, which is the Journey of the Fellowship. And on the main, it's asymmetrical, so the main board has the evil player. They're very powerful on the main board. Like, the armies of Sauron are way strong, and you're fighting against the good stuff on that board. The good player is a huge disadvantage there. But then there's the smaller board, which is the Journey of the Fellowship. Now, the person playing the good side can win by getting the Fellowship to destroy the ring.
Ooh.
That means they win. And then the evil player can win by winning on the, like, battle area. So it's a race kind of between can the good side put up enough defense against the overpowered armies of Sauron on the battlefields in time for the Fellowship to get to the end to complete their journey. Very cool, very very cool concept, and it's a neat design for a game. So I'm looking forward to playing it a lot, but I do think I want to paint it, and I think I'm going to use contrast to do it. I think I'm going to do my
go do that.
Just
do it
spray
that way.
It just contrast and just be like done.
I've kind of stopped using the contrast for my regular figures. I use them very much in conjunction with my regular paints. I use them mainly for glazes and you know, inks, like, you know, highlight washes and things.
Yeah,
like
I
that.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like using it as a straight replacement for
a color.
Color and first wash is great because it skips an entire step. Yeah. Well, technically, it skips two steps.
Yeah, I don't really use it for the first layer anymore. Mainly just because I prime black. I do my airbrush on the basic colors first, and that takes care of all of that. And you don't want to use those because they're so thin. They won't fix the issues that you need to fix with them. So if you use them after like everything is done painted, and use them as kind of washes and glazes and liners, work infinitely better for that. At least the way I paint.
Yeah, I have some figures that I've done some airbrushing on that are pretty bright. I'm gonna try and do a heavily thinned contrast on them to see how that works out, because they have the contrast thinner. So I'm gonna see, because I've only done it straight out of the pot so far. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it works thinner. And what I was breaking up my Nurgle models into like groups, and I was painting them in groups. I have dismissed that idea now, and I'm just fucking, I took out all of my figures and I'm like, I'm doing it in one shot. So I'm painting everything at once.
This is that'll be interesting.
Yeah, so I want to get everything done. And it's gonna be a bit of a challenge because I have different base colors for all of them. Yeah. But I'm gonna try and bring it all together at one one massive go.
Going back to what you were saying is that one of the things that I take a break from, like when I'm doing my normal painting, I'll go and do Warmaster with all contrast.
Yeah.
Contrast for Warmaster is the best thing ever. It is like it's so fast, it's so easy, and it's fun to paint. Because it's just one coat and you're done.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to doing the Warthering, because I'm going to use the bone spray for the heroes, and I'm going to use the gray spray for the villains, and then just contrast, call it a day.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Next thing to talk about, something I missed when I was giving my Gen Con review was the new game that everybody's excited over for really stupid reasons. Marvel Crisis Protocol.
Dude, I'm so fucking sick of superheroes.
Crisis Protocol.
I'm done. I am done with. I saw Endgame, and you know what Endgame was? Fucking Endgame. I'm done.
You're done.
I'm done.
Well, no more Spider-Man.
Who gives a shit?
I like the Spider-Man movies.
I don't care.
It had J. Jonah Jameson at the end of the new one.
They could just do it anyway.
Yeah, I'm sorry I spoiled that for you guys, but the movie's been out for a while now. If you're I was waiting for Netflix. Well, guess what? It's not going to be on Netflix. It's going to be on Disney Plus, where you're going to see The Mandalorian.
Go ahead and pirate it, friends.
Pirate it, my friends.
Yar.
So, Crisis Protocol was a big splash game that was released at Gen Con.
Crapsis Pootacall.
Pootacall. I like that.
Yeah, you got to add the Pootacall. Crapsis Pootacall.
It was released at or previewed at Gen Con. Here's a reason why I give like zero fucks about this game. Number one, all the minis are unpainted. Why you would release a game with Marvel figures that are unpainted is beyond me. Because all you're forcing your players to do is paint them exactly like
they're
how they're supposed to look.
Yeah, they're not gonna paint them.
But I mean, that's the thing. Is like, you have Spider-Man. Oh, are you going to paint him with red and blue? Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Like everyone else. So that my shittily painted Spider-Man is going to be compared to the guy who has this amazingly painted Spider-Man, and they with the same paint scheme.
I'm just gonna spray my Spider-Man black, and he's in the symbiote suit.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and then there's—I'm sure they're gonna have alternate rules for that.
Yeah.
You can't put him in the splat black suit because he's got the webs under the armpits, and he never had that with the black suit. Yeah, that's always my problem. And as I said, that's my problem with night games as well. Is like, why would I want to paint something exactly how it's supposed to look? At least with like certain things, you can have a flair to it. Like, and it was one of the things that started really annoying me about bolt action in historical games is like the people, like Gragnards, who get really all over about like the button counting.
Yeah.
Or like, that's not the exact color that the Wehrmacht wore when they were in Germany at the time. It's like, no, shut up.
This is more of a black. They really wore more of a gray.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I want to add my own flair to it. And then these people would be like,
oh, dude, I would have neon pink Nazis.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I would have. Just as pink as possible with like purple skin.
Yeah. And so people get like really excited about this. I'm like, okay, well, why would I pay for any of these figures when I could just buy pre-painted hero clicks and be done with it? Right.
Right.
Same thing with night games. Like, you want to play the Batman game? That's great. I'm not going to buy these Batman models and have to paint them. And I could just buy the hero clicks, just cut them off the fucking bases and rebase and be done with it.
Right.
And just leave them on the base. I don't give a fuck.
Right. Who cares?
Yeah. Who cares at that point? But no, no buts. Secondly, Ares Games, well, not Ares. Who's the fucking
Fantasy Flight?
No, that's not the game. It's not the company. Atomic Mass Games is the ones who are putting it out.
I thought it was. Are they the one doing the models? Because Fantasy Flight's putting that game out.
I think they're the ones who designed the rules.
Okay.
Because
so Fantasy Flight's publishing it.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So they put out the rule book for it. It is 27 pages long. The rule book is 27 pages long for a superhero game. This is one thing I've learned from Games Workshop is keep it simple, stupid. The rule should be 4 pages long. If anything has special rules, make it separate.
Yeah, if Age of Sigmar can have a tiny little rule book that's like five, I think the newest, the Age of Sigmar 2.0, which is a significant increase in rules, is like 8 pages.
Yeah, it's like 8 pages long.
And I believe some of those pages are technically, I would consider, like, cheats because they're, like, spell lists. They're not actually, like, gameplay rules.
Yeah, and that makes it so much easier for that. And this is not a army-sized game. You have 3 fucking models you're playing with. You're building your thing, and you're trying to get 16 victory points. There's 3 phases, and it's just like, why would anybody want to do this? I don't understand.
Yeah, and then they're also like cannibalizing their own market at the same time because they're also releasing a Marvel LCG.
Yeah, well, like, I don't think they're cannibalizing their market too much.
If you're, look, it's just like Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Even if you only play Star Wars games, there's still only so many games you can play.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to capture, because when you have a licensed game, you're not necessarily like, there's obviously a ton of crossover between like the average like nerd and liking a lot of licensed properties. However, if you have there's also like a subset who only play, like, there's the guys who play HeroClix. They literally play nothing else. They only play HeroClix. So those
I've kind of gotten to that point in my life where I'm just like only playing fantasy.
Yeah. Like, so like there's definitely
Sigmar.
Yeah, there's definitely I mean, Same.
Well, I mean, I play Underworlds, and I'm dabbling in Warcry, but it's all the same universe.
I mean,
I have
Sigmar and Lord of the Rings, and then I have Fallout, but I'm mostly going to do the Fallout stuff for the RPG, not necessarily for the game. Super into the idea of doing the RPG. But like, so as far as like war games though, like it's always just gonna be Age of Sigmar. Like that's it. Like, cause I mean, I don't consider Lord of the Rings a war game cause it's much, much smaller. Cause like at the most played points levels for Lord of the Rings, unless you're doing the Goblin Horde, you're like talking maybe 30 models. And that's a pretty big army.
I would say about 30 models is actually probably.
And that's pretty big. That's if you're not doing Cav or one of the more elite forces.
Don't forget, Cav count is 2 models.
But like, there's like, you do, with Lord of the Rings, you have to do an on foot version because their mount can be thrown from their mount, so on and so forth. So there's that. But there's also, you could do like the just Nazgul list. It's just 5 Nazgul.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, it's 5 Nazgul on winged
fel beasts.
Like, it's just like, yeah, that's it. They're just doing that. And it's like, oh, okay. It's 5 models. But like, I think even the Goblin Horde is like 60 models. And that's monstrously huge.
Yes. And a lot of that's taken up by you just going down to Goblin Town.
That depends if you're doing Goblin Town or Moria, because there's technically 2 Goblin Hordes. Yeah, both are about the same size.
Yeah.
One you get the Balrog, and the other you get the Goblin King. So. No. Your choice of what you want there. Go with the Balrog.
I understand that, but those goblins are so god fucking awful.
Yeah, they're not that bad.
They're not
good, but they're not that bad.
They're awful at that point.
Awful, I would not say.
I would say awful.
I guess the overall standards of miniatures just in general would forbid me from saying that those miniatures specifically are awful, because there's definitely some more very awful miniatures out there. I feel that the goblins they have are mediocre. They're mediocre. They're not terrible, but they're not great. Like, I'm not going to be
there's
like,
not
oh,
many
amazing.
Worse.
Because they're just armored. They're
I can't
just,
think of any worse, though.
Worse goblins or worse models?
Worse goblins.
I think the original fantasy goblins are pretty horrible. With their, like, they have, like, the tiny, weird arms and the absolutely monstrous heads.
Agreed, but those are no longer sold. I'm talking, like,
currently in range.
Those goblins are still technically considered current and selling.
What I can, I well, if, I mean, if that's the case, I wouldn't say that they're awful. I don't think they're that bad. Oof. They're just heavily armored. Like, there's nothing. The only thing that's really, like, I would say is, like, bad about them is they're not super detailed. But when you're painting fucking 60 of them, you don't want super detailed. I want to paint green knees, the red dress, and then armor, and that's all you need to paint.
Well,
for them.
A lot of them are unarmored on the heads.
A lot of them have that, like.
Some of them have the face mask.
That face mask, which is fine. Those look good.
Yeah.
I do like those. The ones with faces, I'll give you, the faces don't look very good. Yeah. But then again, they're really
small.
They have
melty syndrome where, you know, the faces melt into the arms because that mold has been reused.
They're one-piece plastics.
Since 2003.
Yes, they're 2003 one-piece plastics. But still, that puts them above some of the other models that are out there.
16 years old, Steve. Those models can drive.
Hey, I do like the Goblin Town models better.
Down to Goblin
the,
Town.
The other thing, too, is you could always just use the Goblin Town goblins and say they're Moria goblins if you wanted.
I just got an email today that says that Death Row Records, famous for their West Coast rap, is now owned by Hasbro.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get ready for the Ice-T collectible card game, everyone. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding.
After they are now part of Hasbro after the company bought the Canadian studio Entertainment One for a whopping $4 billion because the company owns the lucrative Peppa Pig and PJ Masks franchise. Peppa Pig.
So they got an ancillary bonus of Death Row Records.
Fuck the police.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, as a wise man once did say, fuck the police.
All right. The Crisis Protocol. The game is super, way more complicated than it needs to be for the type of game it should be. You're playing superheroes. It should be literally...
Panch.
Yeah. Like,
web them.
You run, like, three superheroes together. Like, think Amazing Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. I think that was what the name of the show is, where he was at Firestar.
Yeah,
and,
Firestar, Iceman.
And Iceman. Like,
Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Dun, 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 dun. I know that's Super Friends.
Yeah, it's Super Friends. I mean, same fucking deal.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's...
Meanwhile...
At the Hall of Justice. Meanwhile, at the Legion of Doom.
Solomon Grundy want pants too. I miss when Cartoon Network used to do those weird bumpers.
Yeah.
I don't do them anymore.
It's the, and the thing is, and it should be against, like, some villains and some goons, you know? Like, and it should be a foregone conclusion that the hero will win. Like, and it's just, like, if the hero doesn't win by turn six, the villain wins. That's all it is. It's like, if the hero can't get his shit together enough to beat the villain, you know, to beat Stiltman.
Stiltman escapes.
And that's it. You know, that's the way it should go.
It's real easy. You have an attack dice, you have a defense dice, you have a superpower dice. Done. The attack dice has fists on it, blank spaces. The defense dice has shields on it, blank spaces. Superpower dice has fucking Cyclops' eye beam and blank spaces.
Well, and this is exactly what I was thinking. And, like, people are, like, so excited about this. I'm like, why the fuck? Like, they get so blinded by the fact that, like, it's Spider-Man.
Well, but that's the thing, too. It's like that it'll be just another flash in the pan game. Like, do you remember how much
night of September
jizzing about L5R LCG there was?
I remember more from you than actual...
Are you kidding me? Like, you're at the Gen Con.
I was. I mean, there was a lot of hullabaloo about it. Right. But there wasn't, like... I didn't think...
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of hullabaloo about this Marvel game.
Yeah.
They're all flash in the pans, and they go away just as fast as they appear.
Yeah.
Because the games don't have longevity, because, like... I wouldn't necessarily say they're cash grabs, because there'd be much more efficient ways to do that.
Yeah.
But they're all... None of them are going to have longevity because, first of all, it's a licensed game. Licensed games very rarely have longevity because at any point, your license goes away. Like, look at Decipher. Decipher was a company that had three top-tier collectible card games at one point. All three were licensed, and they lost license.
What was the third one?
Lord of the Rings.
They had the Lord of the Rings films.
It was their best game by a fucking mile.
I remember that.
It was really good.
Yeah.
But they had to stop making it because their license ran out.
Yeah.
And there you go. Game's dead. Like, the game sold forever. Like, I was working at a game store when that game was out, and I would have just nerds walking in just buying boxes of that game. Just like, give me three boxes of Lord of the Rings.
Well,
like, sure,
all those
here you go.
Decipher games were great.
Right. All the Decipher games were good.
They still play Star Trek.
Yeah.
Star Trek has a very supportive community with a huge...
They're doing fan expansions for it as well.
They do fan expansions. It's massive.
Yeah, yeah.
That just goes to show you that Decipher has an engine that's fucking awesome.
Right, yeah, they had great games. Yeah. But all of their games died because, they lost the license. Star Wars, the Wizards of the Coast bought the Star Wars license, so then they stopped making the Star Wars game, and it became Wizards Young Jedi / other one.
That was so awful. Bad.
All of the Star Wars, that was the thing, that was the worst part. All of the Star Wars games that Wizards made were awful.
Yeah.
All of them were terrible. It might not have been Young Jedi. No, Young Jedi was Wizards.
That was what came out after... Because they did one expansion. Decipher got one expansion for Phantom Menace.
Yes.
And that was it.
That was it. That was the last thing they were able to do with Phantom Menace.
And then it went away, and then they did Young Jedi over at Wizards, and it was just a fucking awful game.
Yeah. So
however, the one Wizard game that they did was, like, I think it was, like, maybe it wasn't Wizards, but it was, like, the three...
Star Wars Battles. Three
Star
lanes.
Star Wars Battles. The what's that?
Star Wars Battles, I think. It had three lanes. It had space battle, ground battle, Jedi battle.
Yeah.
Or character battle.
And
it wasn't necessarily
that
Jedi.
That game goes for so much money right now.
It was a good game. Yeah. That game was fun. I played that game a lot, actually.
It goes for like Fireball Island money.
It wasn't very good.
I think it was actually fairly good.
It wasn't very balanced.
No.
It wasn't very balanced. So the gameplay was pretty fun, but it wasn't balanced. Oh, the other thing that was annoying about it is it used dice.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucked because I always talk about like randomness and skill, and I understand, like, so there's a point where you have to have a level of randomness in your game to have a sustainable player base, because I use this example often. I've probably said it in the cast before, but there's a game called Versus, which was which came out 20 years ago, give or take. I don't know. It was a while ago. But Versus was the Marvel superheroes card game, and then also the DC superheroes card game. And you could put them all together. It was basically the HeroClix of card games. But that game came out explosively popular, huge pro tour, lots of money, very good game. The biggest flaw that game had is that it was very, very, very skill intensive, and the better player won like 95% of the time. There was a lot less luck involved than other games. Now, while that might sound good, you'd be like, oh, well, that sounds really good. The problem is that leads to a dwindling player base, because the random casual can never go into a tournament and do anything other than go 0-2.
Yeah.
Like, they'll never win. Like, ever. It's impossible, because there's no way they'll get past that. Like, maybe they'll go 1-2. Maybe, if they're very, like, lucky at that point. Because there is some luck involved. It's obviously a fucking card game. But the better player won so much at such a high percentage. To put that into perspective, I think the best player of Versus had, like, an 88% professional win ratio. 88%, give or take, very high. The best winning record for a Magic player, highest at professional level, I think is like 58%.
Wow.
So that's the highest.
Wow.
And he's phenomenal. He's a very good player. But to give you an idea, that's the level of variance that Magic has, because there's a lot more. Like, in Versus, you would never have an opportunity to not. And the whole reason, like, the biggest thing people bitch about with Magic is Mana Flood and Mana Screw, where you have too many lands, so you don't get to play any cards because all you have is resources, or you have not enough lands, so you don't get to play your card because you don't have enough resources. That's by design. That's intended.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so that Billy the Kid can stomp you, the local card shark, because you just draw like shit. The game's made to fuck you over like that. Like, Richard Garfield has said so. Like, he's like, you design it like that because it keeps people who are bad at the game or not necessarily invested in the game to keep playing, because they occasionally can get a free win. They might not think that they got a free win, but they got a free win.
Garfield, eh?
Yes. Lasagna.
He hates Mondays.
Versus does not have that. Versus does not have that level, that resource system, so you can always play your cards.
This popped up on my feed really quick. That's a penis.
This Florida coral?
Yeah.
Is a big dick.
Yeah, and it's... I wonder if anybody references that it's a big dick. Oh, yeah. First comment on it. It's an NPR article.
Okay,
so
good.
Anyway,
so you need to have that level of variance to keep people engaged. And so back to the initial point with card games, cards, random shuffling and drawing is more than enough of a variance. You don't need to also add dice to the game as a requirement. You can have dice as a special rule. Like, there's BattleTech had that. BattleTech had all with the BattleTech game. They all the mechs had like basic attack and defense stuff, but mechs that had missile pods, you would roll dice for the missile pods to see if they would do additional damage. That's okay. in the Star Wars game, dice were how you resolved fights. So, like, Darth Maul would roll... He would roll six dice. But what that means is that you might have a situation where Darth Maul just doesn't roll well and gets killed by a rebel trooper. Like, things that should never happen can happen because of those dice. And that's not cool. But that's what I mean. Like, there's levels of variance that, like, you know, like, you already have the capacity to lose just by drawing dead. Don't also have it rolling dead.
Well, and I want to get back to what you were talking about with licensed games.
They're indefinite lifespan.
Yeah, they're indefinite lifespan. I think one of our games might have a chance of being made now.
Which
Masters
one?
Of the Universe.
Oh yes, Motu.
It's coming back to Netflix.
Written by Kevin Smith.
He's a big He-Man fan. He's talked about that before. Like, that's one of his hidden loves.
It better be the gayest.
I would hope so, but it doesn't sound like it. Like, so the actual producer is like that guy who's been keeping He-Man alive for a long time.
Oh, nice.
So he's like really like, it sounds like it's going to be very, very faithful to the He-Man lore.
To the comics?
Yeah, the comics. And okay. And even a little bit.
Well, that's super not gay He-Man. That's Conan the Barbarian He-Man. And both He-Mans, super valid.
Yes.
Super gay pageboy haircut He-Man, valid. Ultra buff, violent, from the comics only, dark He-Man, valid.
I kind of want the super gay He-Man.
If I had to pick, 100%.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, they haven't really released too much about it, but I'm kind of figuring since it's going to be for kids, it's going to be more like, remember the cartoon that came out like in the mid-2000s?
People really liked that cartoon. I never actually saw it, but people really liked it.
I've only seen a couple episodes of it, and it wasn't bad. I like super gay He-Man. So
did you see the tweet that was is the world ready for a straight He-Man? And someone responded with it always was, and it had He-Man carrying I can't remember her name.
Tila?
Was it Tila?
I don't know.
It's his mom.
Oh.
And it's him carrying her off into the sunset. Oh. And the person responded says, the world always will, or it already is. Like, and then the person replied to that and they're like, that's his mom. I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, I can't remember his mom, but the dad was King Randor. I remember that.
Randor.
Randor.
Look, all I'm saying is that Fisto better be in it and Ram Man better be in it.
You heard Kevin Smith already said that. It's like, look, the Fisto jokes have already been made. We don't need to make any more Fisto jokes.
You better have Fisto in there. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Fisto's great. He's like, I fisted him all I can.
I fisted them as hard as I could.
I can't fist them anymore.
I couldn't fist them all. Rest well, friend.
But that's what I'm saying is that now that this new is coming out, we have our chance to do our He-Man game where it's I still think it, like, I don't want to say Shadespire style with like, but I think a board game with spaces would work appropriately. But I do think that there needs to be classes added into the game. So you could start off with like warrior, healer, magic user, right?
Are you doing custom characters or only licensed characters?
Only licensed characters.
Okay.
So you have warrior.
So you don't need classes. You just need to make the characters.
No. But the characters have to be divided into classes.
Oh, slots. Okay.
Slots. So like He-Man, warrior, right? Orko, magic user. And you could say, like, I don't know, how about tank, shield, magic?
Here's an idea to make it a little asymmetrical. So I'm blatantly ripping this idea off of the One Punch Man video game. So the One Punch Man video game that's coming out, it's a 3D arena brawler. But if anyone's familiar with One Punch Man, the whole gimmick is that he fucking destroys everything in one punch. Like straight up, like, he's the most overpowered thing ever. It's like, that's the joke. Like, literally the joke. In the game, you play as not One Punch Man. You play as, like, the crappier other heroes trying to fight, like, the strong enemies. And while you're doing that, One Punch Man is showing up to the battle, but he's late. So there's a little little camera in the upper left that's showing One Punch Man running. And he's just running towards the battle, and it's showing how far away he gets. And when he gets there, you push one button, and he punches the enemy and blows up. So your only goal is to survive until One Punch Man gets there.
Nice.
So I think we should do the same thing for this He-Man game where there's a Prince Adam tracker where Prince Adam is at the end of each turn, Prince Adam gets closer to the battle, and then when Prince Adam gets to the battle, he does, by the power of Grayskull, turns into He-Man and whips shit, and you basically just win.
I like that idea. However, I think one thing that we can do with that is that when you play is when you because He-Man is so OP in the game that he doesn't show up till turn three, and you have Adam on the board, and the whole point is you have to keep Adam alive till turn three.
Oh, you have to keep Adam safe.
You have to keep Adam safe till turn three when he turns into He-Man, and then he can start wrecking the enemies.
Yes, that sounds fine. Yeah. But when he transforms, you have to shout by the power of Grayskull.
Yeah,
or you don't get He-Man.
Oh, you don't get He-Man. Well, then that's what I'm saying is that I think that you need to have slots. So let's say a tank, you have or you have a shield, sword,
do
magic
we immediately
eater.
Have She-Ra?
No, She-Ra would be an expansion.
Okay.
But what that is that you can also...
Are we doing She-Ra Princess of Power or Classic She-Ra?
We could do both.
Nice.
I'm sure we'd I have like to it. Do... If we got the license, we'd have to do either Classic or New. We could
both would
do
be
both.
Pretty good. No, I think we could do them all. I think Maybe. We could do... You know, this... All right, no. Here's the thing about this. This is how you can expand this game instead of doing different, like... Instead of doing, like, He-Man with action missiles or He-Man with a great sword. You do... 80s MOTU Masters of the Universe He-Man.
Yeah.
Then you do the 2000s reboot He-Man. Then you do the new Kevin Smith He-Man. Same thing for She-Ra. You do 80s She-Ra and you do new Netflix She-Ra.
Yeah. Well, nice. I mean, I think that would be like the. Like, and the game is basically.
And then, of course, we had Thundercats.
Yeah. So think of the game as basically almost a MOBA in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But you only have like. You have specific slots. You have to have a three-man team. You can't repeat the same slot over again. So you can't have three warriors. You can't have two warriors. You can only have one warrior.
Yeah, you get one warrior. You get one archer.
Yeah, you have a range. You have a shield, like a fucking, you know, tank that's going to protect you.
An orca.
And you have a magic user, right? And they all are like... They all have that one thing. And you only play with three figures at a time. Like, that's how you build it. Sometimes you might be able to get, like, two figures... For like the price of one, so you'll run a four, but that's like a gimmick thing.
The only problem I see with this game is I think that there might not be enough characters.
Well, you don't need to do that much. You just got to get enough. There's a shit ton of He-Man characters.
Are there?
Okay. I can name off the top of my head. I could probably name at least 30.
All right, fair enough.
Which is
then never mind. That's fine.
And that's not even all.
I can only think of the ones that are coming off the top of my head. The highlight ones, which are the ones from the TV show.
Like,
and I don't think they did
Moss
all.
Mossman, Stinkor.
Mossman and Stinkor.
Don't forget
and
you got
the one who had that sucker face. The fish dude.
Leechman.
Is it Leechman?
Yeah, or Leechor or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Leechor. And then there was the Beeman. Beeman.
Buzzsaw.
Buzz off.
Yes.
And then there was the one dude who looked like a guy, but you pushed the switch on his back and his like face blew off and he was a snake man.
Yeah, that was King Hiss.
King Hiss, yes.
King Hiss.
I had strange feelings about that toy as a child.
It was like you're like, ah, snakes.
Yeah, I was just kinda like, huh, I don't know if I should be aroused by this toy.
Well, and that's the thing, is like you have not only that, but you also have the Horde. You have the Snake Men. You have the Rock Men.
That's
the Rock,
true.
Remember the guys?
Oh, yes, I do remember the Rock Men.
What was their special power? Turn into rocks.
I stole a kid's Rock Man in kindergarten. I stole it, and then I felt really guilty about it, and I asked my grandma if I would go to hell because I stole a Rock Man, and she's like, yes.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I brought the Rock Man back, and I pretended that I found it out in the alcove where everyone kept the shoes, and the kid was no longer upset because he got his Rock Man back. But I think the teacher realized that I stole it and brought it back. But yeah. I did bring it back.
Yeah, and I would. I don't know if I would go mounts as much, but I mean, definitely.
You gotta have mounts.
There would be like. But it would just. The only thing it would be the tiger, the battle cats. So you'd have a panther or battle
Cringer.
Cat. Cringer. Well, I mean, you would. Yeah. But I mean, Cringer would have to wait till turn three to turn into
the
battle
transform.
Cat anyway.
But what about that fucking cart thing that Ram Man rides in?
No vehicles though.
No vehicles. But vehicles were such a huge part of.
No, not in this game. It's too small for vehicles. And maybe the horse. Remember how they had the horses?
Then I think maybe mounts should be a separate expansion.
Maybe. Like, whatever.
No mounts in the base game.
No mounts in the base game. But yes, yeah, so you have the three slots and then they battle against each other. I think I like the idea of what Shadespire does with the cards. If I could figure out some way of doing it with cards as opposed to dice. Because Shadespire...
You want to roll cards?
Roll cards.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what I call it, rolling cards. That's what... Top Hat game does.
Yeah.
You flip a card and it's the card is a dice roll. It's whatever the number is, and face cards count as 11s, I think.
Maybe something like that, but that's
Malifaux. That's what they do. So yeah. Like you roll a card. You can do that.
I would eliminate dice completely from the game. Just get rid of the dice. And maybe have it so that your attack dice pool is based, like, so you draw cards for your hand that have special attacks or whatever else on you, or moves or whatever else have you, and when you discard one, that goes into your dice pool, so that when you pull for, like, combat, all the cards that you've discarded are part of your dice pool for pulling. So, like, super powerful broke cards have low dice values, and, like, kind of generic-y
cards.
That's
like Deadlands.
Yeah.
Deadlands had that, because Deadlands, the way you resolved combat in Deadlands is you would draw a poker hand off the top of your deck, and the cards had on the upper right, they had a card suit and a number. The really good cards had shitty poker hand numbers. Yeah, that was...
So that way, that's like when you're doing your combat, you're pulling. So, okay, we got a base here, but I want it to be, like, very, like... combo heavy, so that
I would just put a dice on the upper right of the card and just do, like, when you do a combat, you draw whatever number of cards you're supposed to, and then you just put them in your discard pile. And then in this game, what we would do is we would design this game that if you run out of cards, you just reshuffle your deck.
Yeah,
because you're gonna burn through your cards really fast, because you're gonna use a bunch for rolls.
Yeah.
In addition to ones you play are gonna go in your discard pile. That adds a tactical deployment to using cards, because you might want to hold a stronger card until your deck is almost empty, because you could put it in, you could play it, and then it'll get reshuffled in faster, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I see that. And so that's what I want to see. I want to see, like, three-man teams, combo heavy, so that, like...
I think the villains should have more than three.
I don't know. Like,
I think heroes at three plus Prince Adam, and then the villains at five.
Okay, so you always have to have Prince Adam.
Right.
Okay, so the villains would have the heroes would have four, so they'd have three plus He-Man.
Yes.
And villains would always have four
plus a leader. So, like, Skeletor or
Teela or Evil-Lyn.
Hordak.
King Hiss.
Yes.
But not Beastman.
Beastman's not a leader. He's a goon.
He's a goon. He can't have Beastman.
Yeah, he's a goon. He can't lead. He's an idiot. Trapjaw? Idiot.
How come you only have? You're supposed to have four guys out on the table for your evil. Oh, you're supposed to have five guys out for your evil. How come you only have three? Well, Manny Faces counts as three because he has Manny Faces.
You guard the hallway, Manny Faces, because you have Manny Faces.
So I think we could do this. If we design it and sell it, I think it would work. And we could finally have our He-Man game.
He-Man.
But I would if I was gonna do it, I would do it off the 80s. But I think if we needed to get the
you have every expansion be the different thing.
What we could do, like, okay, so this is what the concept would be, is that the base game would be off the new Kevin Smith one, because obviously we need that to get the viewers in and get the licensing. But we sell separate box sets, so it's like a three-man box set that has, or a four-man box set that has, like, here's your 80s starting force for your good guys. So it would have He-Man, Man-at-Arms, Teela, and Orko, right? Or it would have five. So you'd have Prince Adam and He-Man.
Prince Adam and He-Man are...
Yeah, and then you'd have your villain pack, which would have Skeletor, Evil-Lyn, Beastman,
Trapjaw. Yeah.
And a fifth one, too, so...
Whatever, Mossman.
Mossman was a good guy! Stinkor. It'd be Stinkor.
Yeah, Stinkor. you know what? Now that I think about it, Skeletor had no generic henchmen. He had no, like, foot soldiers or...
They did.
Did they?
Yeah.
I could never remember them.
I don't think they have, like, an actual name. But they do exist. I know they were in at least the 2000s version. They had them in there.
Okay. Yeah, they weren't in... I don't think they were in the 80s one.
Expansions, like, all the other ones that ripped off He-Man.
What we do is we call the engine the Saturday Morning Power Hour engine.
Okay.
Because then...
You could...
Expand
Thundercats.
Into Thundercats,
Silverhawks,
Brave Star, Silverhawks,
Pirates of Darkwater,
Gargoyles.
No, Gargoyles wouldn't fit in that. Maybe it might fit in that.
Gargoyles would totally fit. They'd be fine.
Pirates of Darkwater. That was a great show.
It was a really good show. Mighty Max. You have the Mighty Max expansion of him, Norman, and the fucking chicken guy.
I don't think that would work.
It would work. I'm putting
a veto on Mad Max.
I don't think they'd have enough. But Skullmaster. Skullmaster's a great villain.
What was the skeleton show? Remember there was, like, one where they're fighting...
Skeleton Warriors. Yeah, Skeleton Warriors. Mummies Alive. We're going to the Mummies Alive.
No, we are not doing Mummies Alive.
But Mummies Alive!
Just
they're
because
the
you like the theme show doesn't mean we're going to put it in there.
But they're the mummies from 1645 BC. They are the
All
mummies.
Right.
Protectors
we're
of the
over.
Prince Ramses. They are the mummies. Running from the Frisco Bay. They are the mummies. They're going to save the world today. The Egyptian way. The Mummies Alive.
Okay. So,
Spiral Zone? Yeah, Earth's most powerful soldiers, they're a last chance against the Spiral Zone.
What about Visionaries?
Yeah, Visionaries would be dope.
The power of holograms.
Yes. The Visionaries harness the power of light. And then Ulysses, you could do Ulysses 33.
Ulysses. Ulysses was something that you have a fever dream about.
Ulysses, Ulysses travels all the galaxies.
No, it's He-Man is specifically designed around, the reason why He-Man is good is because it's specifically designed around the young male ego. Like the ego, the desire of like, I just want to punch things and be gay, but I have to conform into the normalcy of life.
Why not Transformers as well?
Because I don't want to get in that license.
That's true. That's a Hasbro thing. We have to pass on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just stick to the 80s team shows.
I just want to stick to He-Man and see if we can He-Man milk.
We gotta get other 80s shows
because
in there.
They all suck in comparison to He-Man.
Well, that's why you lead with He-Man. But you're telling me that you don't want to see He-Man Silverhawks team up?
I want to see every He-Man figure made before I even get to Silverhawks.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah,
I want
Mosquitor.
Mosquitor?
Before.
Or no, I think it was just Skeetor. Wasn't he a good guy too?
No, he was a bad guy. He sucked blood.
Okay.
I think he was part of the Horde. I want to see those guys.
What about Thundercats though? Like Thundercats is so like so close to being He-Man.
Extendor needs to be made.
Extendor
before. His whole power was he extended.
What about cops fighting crime? Fighting crime in a future time.
Fighting crime in a future time. Cops.
Those toys were dope. They had fucking caps in them.
Cops.
See, so we gotta have cops. That, I'm telling you, dude. Like the capacity for expansion is ripe.
I know there's this
Toxic Crusaders.
I agree.
TMNT.
However, no, we're not even getting into that rabbit hole.
Okay.
But yeah, I would do just He-Man. That would be the way to do it. And the problem with a lot of that is that.
Well, was He-Man Hanna-Barbera?
He-Man was.
Or was it Deke?
No, it was Gold Sun Golden.
Hang on, I gotta see who animated He-Man now, because we could probably just stick to anything that they did.
Yeah, but I mean, like I don't even want to go with them. I would want to do Mattel, like the toy line, because they had the comics and the comics were much better. And because not all the characters showed
Filmation.
Up.
Filmation is what they've done.
Yeah.
I don't know what
Filmation Ghostbusters, not the real Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters, the one with the gorilla, I believe. I think they did Smurfs, and consequently the Snorks.
The Snorks, fucking Snorks. They're Smurfs, but they're
underwater.
Underwater,
and they have some sort of weird sexual organ on the top of their heads. All right, we're way over time.
Oh, hey, Filmation doesn't even exist anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Oh no, shit.
Yeah. That all that shit went away. All
right. Well, then I wonder who holds the. I guess all the licenses are probably broken up.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, you know what? I think Filmation did the fucking shitty Ghostbusters.
That's
with
what
the
I said.
Gorilla.
That was literally what I said.
Yeah,
you don't even listen to me.
Well, it's because I'm digging deep trying to figure out all the shows.
Yes.
Well, when you said Ghostbusters, I thought you were talking about.
Well, I specifically said not the real Ghostbusters.
I think I only heard real Ghostbusters because I'm like wait, no, because that was Deke. Real Ghostbusters was definitely Deke.
All right, so everybody go to planetarbitrary.com to hear all your Planet Arbitrary needs, which doesn't exist anymore. Go to our Facebook page, Games Classy Podcast. Best way to get in contact with us and send us pictures of 3D printed banana men. I've seen that one before. Thank you, Hamish.
The banana men.
The banana men. Whoever printed that did a terrible job with the printing, though, by the way. Best way to help us out is to like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. Also, like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube page. You could also listen to our sister podcast. We have Shin Play on Neo with
just did a new episode.
We just did a new episode with Steve talking about the things from the land of Nippon. We also have Deconstructing Daycare, which I know they put out a new episode not too long ago, where it's all about deconstructing the kiddie shows. And I've been watching a lot of Dinosaur Train lately. Which is about dinosaurs on a train.
Oh.
How does the train run, Steve? It can't run on fossil fuels. They don't exist because dinosaurs are there, Steve. All right. So, Steve, until next time.
The 80s shows they did, Brave Star.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters, a shitty one. She-Ra. The Adventures of Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Gilligan's Planet?
Yes, it was a sci-fi Gilligan's Island.
The Tarzan Lone Ranger Zorro Adventure Hour.
Ooh.
The Kids Superpower Hour with Shazam.
Shazam!
Black Star!
I'm a Black Star. Black Star.
Sport Ooh. Billy. Which is a show based in the European comic of the same name, originally produced for Germany. The Tom and Jerry Comedy Show. The Tarzan Lone Ranger Adventure Power Hour. And Batman and the Super 7.
Batman and the Super 7. I don't know what that one is.
The New Adventures of Batman, Webwoman, Manta, and Moray, The Freedom Force, Super Stretch, and Micro Woman.
All right, then.
Yeah,
so,
it ran for 1 year. Maybe it could be bigger than Pokemon?
Game Classy.